Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was a very unique teacher as a preacher. He was, perhaps to use the kind of language that we would use today, he was not politically correct as he spoke to the crowds that came to hear him. In fact, his words were contrary to conventional wisdom, that when he spoke, when he preached, when he delivered the word of God to his hearers, it was always revolutionary. And nowhere is this more clear than what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And there the Lord Jesus Christ is preaching to his disciples, and he says things that even to this day are very strange to human nature. If I were to come, or even in this place, I say to you, how many of you would like to be poor? And how many of you would like to be rich? I am sure that the majority, if not all, would be happy to be wealthy. And the Lord Jesus Christ turns this whole matter on its head by informing us that it's those who are poor who are blessed. And he says that it's those who are wealthy who are cursed by God. And that was the message that the Lord Jesus Christ brought to his hearers. And you can understand why the Pharisees hated him. And they hated him so much that they decided that they needed to get rid of him because of the things that he said, of the message that he preached, and how convicting that message was. The message that showed them that they were mistaken in their ideas about God. That although they were very religious, they were completely lost. They were on the way to hell. And so he spoke to them to show them how desperate their condition was. They did not appreciate that. They were totally and completely against that message and against that preacher, and they did not rest until they had finally nailed him to the cross because of the message. I want to tell you this morning that that message has not lost its power. It comes to us in exactly the same way it came to these first hearers, those people that hated him when he spoke this mighty sermon on the Mount. And it is still a very convicting message. It's a message that exposes human depravity. And it's a message that comes to us personally. And the good thing about this sermon, about this message that the Lord Jesus Christ preached, it was calculated to convict those who were religious. It was not speaking to the outsiders who didn't know anything about God. It is a message that was spoken to people who were religious, who were committed, who were thinking they were the chosen people of God. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ says to them in verse 27. Luke chapter 6 and in verse 27. I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. And in those words, the Lord Jesus Christ describes who and what a Christian is. A Christian is a person who loves his enemies. A Christian is a person who does good to those who hate him or her. And a Christian is a person who blesses those who curse him. And a Christian is a person who humbly prays for those who spitefully use you. And that is a message that comes to us this morning, beloved brothers and sisters. It's the message that is directed at us. It's a message that will not allow us to hide in our religious performances, because it's a message that describes what it means to be a Christian, what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I probably have told you this story, but bear with me, because I think that it really does give us the illustration that I want to drive home this morning. It was in 1983. My father, his first name is Henson, had just retired, having worked for about 40 years in the mines, and was moving from Zambia and going back to his village in Malawi. And as a young man growing up, I decided to go with my parents. So there were the three of us, my mom, my dad, and myself. And so we got onto the bus, and after about, I think, 10 hours driving, we reached this particular place, and so we needed to spend the night. And so we were just relaxing. I still remember, it looks like it was yesterday, we were seated on the, I think it was some kind of ledge, and waiting. And a strange man appeared. Strange to me. My assumption was he was my dad's friend. And so he came directly to me and stretched out his hand and greeted me. How are you, young man? And I said, I'm fine. And then he says to me, you must be Henson's son, because you look just like him. And my mom was right there beside me, and she started laughing. I'd never, as far as I was concerned, met this man. And the point that he made is that we know this to be true genetically, that children look like their parents. And what I want to say to you this morning is that what is true physically is also true spiritually. The children of God look like God, act like God. And children of the devil act like the devil. It is the Lord Jesus speaking to the Pharisees and the Jews in John and chapter 8. And he says to these men and women who were very religious, you are of your father, the devil. If you go down to verse 36, here is what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. And so there is a family resemblance in the kingdom of God. The children of God act like God. And that is why in verse 27 he says, describing God's people, I say to you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. I think that the first thing that we need to do with this particular verse is just to go back to the New Testament and to find Christians and to look at the way they were behaving, in the way they acted. And perhaps there's no better place to start than to start with Stephen. Stephen was a Christian. He lived among the Jews. He was a Jew himself, but he had come as a result of the working of the Holy Spirit. His life has been transformed, and he had become a Christian, a follower of the Lord Jesus. And unfortunately, his life was cut short by his enemies. His life was cut short by those who rejected the Lord Jesus and his message. And we read that they were stoning Stephen. And as those stones of hate were falling on him and breaking his bones and tearing his flesh, what do we find Stephen doing? And the scriptures tell us that Stephen was a man who was praying for them. That rather than hating them, rather than seeking vengeance, he was pleading with God on their behalf. And he specifically says, do not lay this sin against them. Please, O Lord, be merciful and gracious to them. That is not because Stephen is a super saint or somebody who has been canonized. That, according to the New Testament, is ordinary Christianity. That is Christianity 101. It's not because he is an extraordinary Christian, as we shall soon see. But that is normal Christianity. And I can guarantee you, if you want, you could read throughout history all of the children of God who have been persecuted, who have been hunted down, thrown into prison, thrown onto the stake and burnt, that they all of them displayed the Christian spirit. They begged God to have mercy upon their enemies. And we probably can ask ourselves the question, where did Stephen learn that particular trait himself? That Stephen learned that trait, or he received that kind of spirit from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we learn that the Lord Jesus Christ, you remember at the cross, he himself prayed for his enemies, that God would have mercy upon his enemies. And I want to say to us that the words of the Lord Jesus are very, very convicting to us, because they expose us for who we really and what we are. A people in great need of deliverance from God. That these words come to us to expose what is our greatest need. Our greatest need, beloved friends, is for the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, working his miracle upon us. That when we read these words, we are not supposed to find a way to explain away or to lessen the conviction that they bring upon us. But these words that we read here, they are meant to show us our desperate need for the work of the Holy Spirit in our own hearts. And if you are here this morning, that's the question you should be asking yourself. Is what I understand to be a Christian in agreement with the description of who a Christian is according to the Lord Jesus in this particular passage? Do I love my enemies? Do I do good to those who hate me? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is very clear in this passage, because he knows how, as human beings, we have that attitude that says something like, you know, I treat you in the way you treat me. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, no, no. If that's the way you think, if that's the way you behave, you are completely mistaken. This is what it means to be a Christian. You don't treat people the way they treat you. You treat them like God treats them. That, beloved friends, is Christianity 101. And as I have said, those words are meant to drive us to desperation. Those words are meant to expose our need for the work of the Holy Spirit in our own hearts and lives. They are meant to drive us so that we cry out to God to do within us what he has in fact promised to do in Jeremiah and chapter 31. That he is going to do a work in the hearts of his people. He is going to do a work of transforming them, of writing his law upon their hearts and causing them to walk in the way of his commands, to be a loving people and to love God and to love their enemies and to pray for those who despitefully use you. Now, for us to be able to appreciate how revolutionary this was, I'd just like you to refer back to the Sermon on the Mount as it is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. This is what the rabbis were teaching the people. It says in verse 43, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That was the teaching of the Jews. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, no, no. If you are to be a true lover of God, a true follower, a true disciple, verse 44 tells you, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And the bottom line is this. If your Christianity, if your religion is something that can be explained by natural means, then know that that is not true Christianity. The Jews believed that they were supposed to love the Jews and they were supposed to hate all Gentiles. And remember how On another occasion, the Lord Jesus Christ was approached by a clever lawyer who says, "What's the greatest commandment?" And the Lord Jesus Christ says to him, "To love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all my strength." And he says there, he wanted to justify himself. And then he turns to the Lord Jesus Christ and says, "But who is my neighbor?" And in that sense, he wanted the Lord Jesus Christ, or he expected the Lord Jesus Christ to say, "Your neighbor is your fellow Jew." And the Lord Jesus gives that parable. You remember the parable of the Samaritan, the good Samaritan. Samaritan was regarded as one who is lost. He was regarded as an enemy of the Jews. And at the end of that parable, the Lord Jesus Christ turns to that particular lawyer and says, "Who was his neighbor?" And he was compelled to admit it was the one who did good to him. So the question that we need to be asking ourselves this morning, beloved friends, is this: am I a true Christian according to the Lord Jesus? Am I blessed or am I cursed? You see, it is possible, just like these initial hearers, these initial people who heard the words of our Lord Jesus, it is possible to be religious. It is possible to be committed in your religious activity. It is possible to be attending upon a local church just like you and me are doing this morning. But that's not the question. The question, according to the Lord Jesus, do I answer to this description that he gives? Do I love my enemies? Do I do good to those who hate me? Do I bless those who curse me? Do I pray for those who spitefully use me? In verse 32, he says, "If you love only those who love you, what credit is that to you? Because even people who don't love God do that. And that's not going to fly on the day of judgment." And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to say. Do you know something of this extraordinary love that comes from God? That love that makes it possible for you to love even those who hate you. That love that causes you to bless those who curse you. To do good to those who hate you. That, my friends, is what it means to be a Christian. And if you find yourself lacking, you need to go to the Lord and seek him and cry out to him that he might transform you and make you the kind of person he wants you to be. One who loves his or her enemies, and one who does good to those who hate you. You need the grace of God. You need the love of God. And may these words come to you as a means to drive you to your knees, to show you how desperate your condition outside of Christ is, to show you that you need him every hour. You need him every moment. That you do not have the love that he speaks about, Left to yourself, you will only be able to manufacture a human sort of religion, a religion that suits you, a religion that answers to your own description. But that will not carry you on the day of judgment. You need the extraordinary work of the Holy Spirit. You need to plead with God to do his work in your life, to cause you to be a genuinely loving person. And if you're that kind of person, you will see what God is going to do in your life as you love and as you spread that love to God's enemies and your enemies. You will see how he is going to conquer them and bring them back to himself. This is the kind of Christianity the Bible recognizes. And it does not grow naturally. It comes only by the grace of God. And so my question to you this morning, are you like God? Do you have that spiritual family resemblance spoken of by the Lord Jesus? Let's close in prayer. Our gracious, loving, and holy Father, we stand before you. Thank you for your word that comes to us. Word that clearly indicates to us how desperately we need you. May it be that as we hear these words, we might hear the voice of Christ speaking to us, drawing us, and calling us to come to Jesus, to plead with him, to call upon him, and to give him no rest until we are completely transformed to be the people of God that he wants us to be. Grant us by your grace that we might be able to answer to the description that the Lord Jesus Christ himself gave of those who are the true inhabitants of the kingdom of God. We recognize ourselves to be completely and utterly depraved. And unless your grace is given us, we cannot rise to this description. And we plead with you, especially for any in our midst who are strangers to this grace, that they might know the work of the Holy Spirit working in them these true characteristics of what it means to be the children of God. May they have the true spiritual family resemblance planted in by the Holy Spirit, causing them to be Christ-like, to love like the Lord Jesus, because of the love of God, which is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Hear us, we beseech thee, and may the Lord Jesus Christ himself be honored and glorified, because we ask in his name. Amen.